The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, everybody, it's not the crew today. Tim Matthews should be joining us shortly. He's caught in Dallas traffic because his double frocco macchiato, whatever he gets at Starbucks, actually must have spilled and is caught. Who knows? Anyway, Frank Bassett joining you live this morning from the Nashville studios. And with me right now, let's bring him right in, the host of Golf Talk Canada on TV, radio, my good friend. Also, by the way, he is live on the property at Mayakoba, doing PGA Tour play-by-play on Sirius XM Radio, Mr. Mark Zucchino. Marky, what's happening, big boy?
Hey, Frank. Well, right now, my friend, I am sitting in one of our PGA Tour radio carts, waiting to get suited up for our broadcast. It starts at 10 a.m. Eastern, and there's not a cloud in the sky, and it is absolutely perfect, about 82 degrees, a light breeze. But what I'm hearing is maybe a little different later on in the day. So I'm enjoying the weather now while it's here.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, it, you know, the coverage has been great. It always is on PGATour.com and SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. You guys are seeing some pretty doggone good golf. What's going on down there? I mean, these guys are playing out of their heads.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, it's interesting. This golf course, Frank, when the wind lies down, you can get it pretty good. And that's what happened yesterday morning. The wind just laid down and guys were flag hunting. And unlike a lot of golf courses in the Caribbean and in the South, the greens are perfect. They hardly have any grain at all on them. And that's just, you know, that's surprising for me. I've played some golf in the Caribbean and grain's part of the process. You know, you've got to learn how to read grain. Here, not so much. They're just really smooth. And you saw Kizire and Fowler go out and shoot low rounds early. The round that scratched my head a little in the opening round was the Von Taylor round. He went out in the afternoon where the wind was howling and guys were holding on for dear life coming home, and he was out there making birdies. So it's going to be interesting to see if that happens again this afternoon, if there's anybody that can go out and make birdies late, because they're suggesting that if you thought it was windy yesterday afternoon, you haven't seen anything. You could be gusting to 35 miles an hour later today, and those holes out by the ocean, forget it. You know, 15 is that gorgeous par 3 that you probably know that's beautiful by the ocean, just a little hole. Guys were flighting the golf ball about waist high yesterday. They're still getting smacked down and thrown to the left. I was standing there for about three or four groups. It was fun to watch.
Well, I know you've been on the road a lot. You were at, I think, at Bandon Dunes and running around over the past few weeks playing a lot of golf, staying out of Canada during the winter, which is pretty smart, I would think. But speaking of people who are on the road a lot, the king of Starbucks in Dallas, Texas, is joining us right now, Mr. Tim Matthews.
Hey, I got thrown a wicked curveball.
What did you do? Yeah. Drop your frappa macchiato, whatever, in your lap?
I didn't even get to it, Frank. I was in line, and suddenly our time changed, and you know, Zucchino had to do what he had to do, and I'm like, okay, the world revolves around Mark Zucchino, so I'm out of here.
Well, it does that.
I had to run, so I don't even have my coffee.
You know, it's not me. Our play-by-play times are early this week, so I just, you know, I'm getting used to that. Normally, you know, Frank, I can't put a word together, a sentence together before noon usually, so this is a big challenge for me.
Well, me too, unless the Pin High vodka and the Bloody Mary mix is ready to go, so we'll tell you that story later. Bill Conwell, shout out.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, Tim, get in here.
I was going to ask Mark about this, because Patton Kizire seems to be a guy who, in these type of tournaments, you know, what are we calling him now, Frank? We don't want to call him second tier.
Well, they're not. They're not second tier. This is the 2017-2018 PGA Tour season. That's it.
I know, but you know what I'm saying? It's not filled with the premier leaderboard, but Patton Kizire seems to really excel at these kind of tournaments. I mean, this is when he really, which is smart. It's great. It's wonderful. You don't hear his name very much when it comes to the other tournaments, but somehow, at this one and in Jackson at Sanderson Farms and in tournaments like this, he seems to really, really do well.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, that's really part of the new PGA Tour in a way. You know, like Frank said, these tournaments, you know, they may not have the fields of a ton of names that, you know, are globally recognized at times. But regardless, there's still the 500 FedEx Cup points to the winner and full FedEx Cup points through the field. And we've seen in the last couple of years, guys that take these tournaments seriously and guys that play these tournaments can rally these into a great season. I look at Mac Hughes, my Canadian boy, last year, who won this time of year and became, you know, almost came to the Tour Championship. He finished one place outside going to Eastlake. You just look at guys that just can compile points this week, and it's almost then when they return in January or February, it's almost like they got a head start on everybody else. And I think it's, you know, it's taken a few years for the players to rework their schedules and think this thing out, but you're right. Guys like Kizire, there's just a few of them out there that do well this time of year. You know what? When July and August are rolling around and some of the guys who maybe didn't play as much this time of the year are pressing to make the playoffs or pressing to put themselves in a position to make it to Eastlake, they're banging their head against the wall going, man, one or two starts in the fall last year and I could be in a very different situation right now. So Kizire got a great part of the day yesterday. He took advantage of it. He's going to see a very different golf course this afternoon. So we'll see. We'll see what he's like this afternoon because he's going to be playing a completely different venue. And we'll see if anyone can put a better number on the board than 9-under after the morning. Because if they don't, which is plausible, if the lead is still 9-under come 1 o'clock, there's a chance it stays at 9 or even backs up. So going to be interesting to see.
Well, don't forget Ryder Cup points. This is a head start on the Ryder Cup points too right now. These guys are out there just gathering as many points as they can get ahead of the boys who are going to come out at the top of the top 50 and really start burning it up in January, February. So, you know, it's smart to get out there early, I think.
It's not a bad strategy at all. It just seems that, and I'm also curious too, Mark, about another guy who is maybe almost the opposite of a Kizire, and that's Patrick Reed, where he excels when the pressure's on and there's 60,000 fans out at each hole and 60 million people watching on TV. And yet when it's not the same kind of atmosphere like this week, you see a guy like Patrick Reed who finished one over and 72, nothing great.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I think a lot of it, guys, is the vibe down here. It's a very relaxed atmosphere. Some guys love it and are thriving in it. I kind of feel like it's almost like the week after Augusta. You know, like the Masters is like this pressure-packed environment. Everybody, you know, can't even exhale starting Monday when they arrive on the ground, especially if you're a first-timer, you're in awe of everything. And you're just tightly wound to the end. And then the week after, you know, you make it to Hilton Head and everybody exhales and just the pace slows down and some people really need that and they thrive in that. And there's certain guys that are kind of dealing with that this week. Ricky Fowler, who I spoke to yesterday, said, you know, he's been down since Saturday, relaxing. He's used the resort. He's enjoyed the amenities, treating it like a holiday. He didn't touch a golf club until Tuesday afternoon. So you figure a guy arrives on property and doesn't even pick up a club till Tuesday afternoon. But he said he just wants to ease his way into the season, and he's enjoying the pace of this place. So Ricky Fowler using that to his advantage, I'm not so sure that works for a guy like Patrick Reed for the reasons you've outlined. You know, he's an intense guy. He's an in-your-face kind of competitor. Why he does so well in international team competition. This environment might work against a guy like Patrick Reed. And there's certain players in the field that are going to be like that. They just go, hold on, and you know, it should be business as usual. And you know, out here each week, there's so much to play for, so many FedEx Cup points, so much money, so much prestige, a win, you can set up your schedule for the next 2 years. Like, there's so much out here each week. This week, I think if you don't try to alter your personality a little and just kind of soak yourself into what's going on around here, you're not going to change the vibe around here. So you better kind of, you know, learn to change your own game plan. And I think Ricky's done a great job of it so far.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult not to when the ocean's out there and those fishing boats are sitting there and the margaritas are frozen and, you know, just, yeah, adjust your thinking just a little bit and go out and do a little deep sea fishing, maybe a little wakeboarding, whatever, and have some fun. That's a gorgeous place down there, Zucchino. We're so jealous of you. It's ridiculous right now.
Hey, Mark, I'm curious. You're probably in 80-degree, 85-degree weather now. What is it in Toronto right about now?
Yeah, it's a little better than Toronto this time of year, boys, let me tell you. Now, we haven't seen snow yet, thank God, but it is cold up there. It's about, I'm going to say about 39 to 42 degrees Fahrenheit today up in Toronto. So, you know, when told the friends and family, oh, you know, I got to go to work again and I got to go to Mayacoba, you know, in Mexico, I didn't get a lot of sympathy. I got a lot of something else, which I can't tell you on the air. So calling this the office this week is a good bonus to be able to call Mayacoba the office this week. And I don't know if you guys have ever been here. This resort is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
We're staying at the Fairmount this week. There's two or three resorts within the Mayacoba community. I mean, first class all the way. Food's fantastic. It's just beautiful. We're walking to work every day. This is a real bonus. I don't know what I did to deserve this, but I'm just going to shut up and say thank you. So,
well, have you ridden the little boats that you ride around in the moats there in the resort?
Going to do it over the weekend. Broadcast windows are a little shorter on the weekend, so we have a little bit more time than we do on Thursdays and Fridays. We'll be shooting up around 10:30 instead of 9:30, so I can gain an hour right there in the morning. So I think I'm going to enjoy the amenities a little bit on the weekend, and I'm not leaving here till Wednesday. I'm hanging back and taking Monday, Tuesday off, and going to enjoy the resort on Monday and Tuesday, and then head back to Toronto on Wednesday. What's the rush to get back to cold Toronto? I don't
Good point. Good point.
Well, wait a minute. Hey, Tim, let's fire up the G5, Golf Talk America G5, and go down and join them. You know, get a little game and play a little golf in Mayacoba. Hey, tell us this, Mark, real quick. I know you've got to get suited up and get ready to do the broadcast. But before we let you go, Graham McDowell, what's going on with Graham down there? He looks like his game's starting to sharpen up a little bit.
Yeah, and you got to remember, too, it's horses for courses. This is the place 2 years ago where, you know, I don't want to say, you know, he kind of came back. But, yeah, I remember doing the post-game interview. I called Graham McDowell's victory here 2 years ago, and I remember saying, you know, GMAC is back. And this is a ball strikers golf course. Although the last couple of years since that victory, it's been GMAC's putting that has kind of – you know, been the best part of his game. When you look at the numbers, it's kind of shocking because you always think of GMAC as a ball striker versus a putter, and that, you know, this golf course would certainly suggest that. You know, on the number, it's just a hair over 7,000 yards, but I think, you know, it's playing under 7,000 yards in terms of the setup each day, 69 and change. So it's about hitting the right side of the fairway, the right side of the hole, flighting your golf ball because of the wind. And these are all things that kind of, you know, oh, that sounds like a GMAC kind of golf course. And when you look at the champions here, especially over the last kind of few years, you know, they're older players, veterans, guys that kind of, you know, really do well in that type of environment. This is not a bomber's paradise. We're not seeing a bunch of flat bellies, 23 years old, smacking it out there 340 and then flipping a wedge. This is not that kind of golf course. So, and you know, Frank, for me, being in my 40s and not a flat belly, I love watching that kind of golf.
Hey, by the way, have you run across any of the critters that roam around that property?
Oh, yes. I have seen things that I have no idea what they are. All I've been told is to just relax and nothing is dangerous. So I'm trying to put on a brave face, but I'm a city boy, man. I'm comfortable in concrete and traffic. So I'm pretending I'm not scared, but let me tell you, I've seen some creatures that look straight out of a sci-fi film.
Hey, Mark, before I let you go, I got to ask you, our Canadian researcher here in all things hockey, Vegas, new team in the NHL, Frank. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah,
I do. An expansion team in Vegas, off to one of the best starts ever. How did Vegas get so good this early in? I mean, to be where they are right now, Mark, as an expansion team taking on everybody's has-beens, it's pretty surprising.
Yeah, I go this one way. I think most scouts in the NHL, and I've said this since I was a kid, I played a lot of competitive hockey when I was younger, you know, and this is why franchises like Detroit and New Jersey, if you look at the last 20, 30 years, have been able to be so good and so consistent for so long, because they actually have scouts that can recognize talent which is rare in the NHL. I think most scouts wouldn't know talent if it creeped up and bit them you know where. And this Vegas team is filled with the outcasts, quote-unquote, of the rest of the NHL. So it's amazing to me how many guys probably in the NHL right now, because maybe the coach doesn't care for them, or they were put in a system that didn't fit for them, or they were just labeled as a checking line guy. They're playing on a fourth line right now in the NHL that could be a 30-goal scorer, and we don't even know about it. So, you know, it goes to show how much talent there is, how deep that league is. You know, it's like the PGA Tour now. The NHL is a global league. They get players from all over the place. And, you know, who knows how long they can keep this going. But fun to watch, and good for those guys, because, you know what? I think there's a pride element involved there, too. Fine, I'm a castaway, no problem. We'll get this done in Vegas with the other castaways. So I hope they keep it going. It's been fun to watch. I'm a huge Leaf fan. We had a great start, not doing so well lately. But it's a long season, and you know what? I'd love to see Vegas keep it going.
All right. Maybe we will. Maybe we will. Go. It has been exciting. So, all right, Mark, we appreciate your time. Thanks for sprinting in and talking to us a little bit. Now you got to get back to work out on the golf course. All day today and over the weekend, PGA Tour Radio. Who are you working with this week? I know Frank probably already
Freddie,
asked you, but
yeah,
Freddie I missed it.
Is with him this right week. There? Jaime's down there on site helping out Mark, right, Mark? Tell Jaime and the team hello for us, too.
Thanks a lot, boys.
Okay, we'll do it. Thanks, Mark. Take
Thanks,
care.
Buddy.
Have a great weekend.
Take care. Get me a shirt. See ya.
And he's gone. Mark,
we got rid of
PGA Tour Radio. Yeah.
Hey, welcome in. Tim Matthews joining us now live from Starbucks.
Yeah.
How are you doing, buddy?
So nice. I know. We got to work on this where we can do this from our phones and we can actually be anywhere. We could be in line
at
Starbucks.
Well, usually we're out at tournaments, but this time of year, you know, with family and everything that's going on. And Zucchino's a newlywed. I mean, can you imagine? He just came from Bandon Dunes for a week with his buddies there. So, I wonder if he's gonna be.
I gotta go to Mexico.
Got an extra room at your place, or does he need to come to Nashville to live? Because he's probably not going home.
Hey, Frank. Here's a weird thing. So yesterday, I'm sitting in my studio, and right above my studio is a light fixture, right? With a whatever you call the glass that goes over top of the bulb,
a globe,
the case,
a globe.
Okay, the globe. Mm-hmm. I'm in the other room from my studio, and I hear this enormous crash. I come in here. And that globe had fallen off the ceiling onto the desk where I'm sitting right now and shattered into, I'm going to roughly say, 3 trillion pieces.
Okay.
All over everything. Yeah. And so when I just sat down just now, I'm still looking at pieces of glass. And while we're talking, I'm like going, and I'm picking up pieces of little bit of glass that are still...
I thought you said you're going to be picking glass out of your whatever.
No. Yeah, well, I vacuumed. I did everything. But you know,
it goes
just
everywhere.
Get glass. I mean, it's just crazy. So I'm still looking because the sun's hitting just right. And I get this glitter. I have diamonds all over the desk here and other places. I'm like, oh, I'm going
to get that. It's as far away as probably out in the hall, to be honest. So don't let your puppy dog or anybody, any kids or wife walk barefooted.
Frank, this could have been, I mean, I could have been doing the show when that happened. Just think of that.
Think of the ratings. Think of the ratings. Oh, my God.
Yeah. First thing Frank could do is go, can I get that recorded? And
let's get a cut of that.
Get that on the internet so that it can go viral.
Tim Matthew, host of Golf Talk America, dies during broadcast.
Yeah, glass breaks on his head. I mean, it literally would have missed my head by inches, but still would hit the desk. Pieces of charge would have come off, Frank, into my throat.
Would have ruined it. The broadcast voice is gone. You would have started like Bob Bupka.
Okay, here's another thing. I was talking with Zucchino, and we just finished talking with Mark Zucchino, PGA Tour Radio, and he's Canadian. We talked a little hockey. And I'm curious that the team in Las Vegas that we talked about doesn't use the actual name Las Vegas. They just go by Vegas. Officially, they are the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that they cut off? I'm just saying, the Las Vegas, I mean, nobody would call it. Any other city is, I mean, you can't kind of use the whole city, don't you? Los Angeles, San Francisco.
Yeah.
You never call it Teddy the.
Well, what does Las Vegas actually translate into, though? What does Las mean? Las. Like, Las Vegas translation is I'm broke.
City of Vegas? City of Vista?
Los Angeles is the city of angels, right?
Yeah.
So, city of Vegas? So, it's Vegas.
I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah, Vegas.
Roughly translated into I'm totally broke.
You can see the stars. Vegas. That's a good question. Hey, I have the answer for you.
You know, before you jumped on with us, we brought Zucchino in and got started. And he, we're talking a little bit about Mayakoba and how beautiful it is down there in the PGA Tour this time of year. And he was talking about the wind just totally laying down yesterday. And it did. Right. I mean, if you watch the broadcast, it was easy pickings, basically, yesterday. But they're saying this afternoon at that tournament, it's going to kick up, it looks like, and 9-under could end up being 4-under if you're not careful.
Really?
So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. And for our listeners out there, if you have a chance, you know, get it, watch it. I mean, just turn down the volume on the TV, okay, unless our commercial comes up for Golf Talk America and PGHR.com podcasts. But, yeah, watch it. It was really beautiful. I've got this huge new 4K TV. Although it's not broadcast in 4K, boy, it looks good. It's, gosh, I wish I was there. Oh, man, you know.
Yeah.
Having to be here in Nashville's 37 degrees this morning. And
well, consider yourself lucky, though. I know we should be doing, this time of year, we'll do our golf forecast. And if you look around almost everywhere in this country, and certainly in the Midwest, in Chicago, St. Louis, and even down into Nashville and different areas, it's early this morning, wind chills were single digits.
Yeah.
So the wind chills in Chicago were like 5. Minneapolis was like 2. So it's that time of year. Here we go.
So you're saying the golf forecast is abysmal.
No, the golf course forecast is go south, young man.
Yeah.
Get
on a plane.
You're not going to be playing a lot of golf. Yeah, you're not going to be playing a lot of golf. And I'm not a fan of, not that anybody was really going to be playing in 5 degrees, but I'm not even a fan of 30 and 40 degree weather.
No,
some people get out, and I know if you have to, you have to. Like if you're in England, if you're in Scotland, and you get that's your trip, you got to do it. But other than that, if somebody says to me, "Hey, you want to play it?" and it's going to be a high of, you know, 49 or no, thanks, I don't really have any.
No,
and because around here in Dallas, that means the wind's out of the north. When it gets cold in the wintertime, it's a north wind. If the wind's out of the south, it's not too bad. And even if it's 55 degrees and it's out of the south, it feels pretty good. It could feel 65. If it's out of the north and 55, it feels
cold.
39.
Yeah. Same thing here. Same in Nashville.
Direction.
We're a little further north too. So, but this is an Arctic front that's coming through, and so it's going
to come south. Sometimes they sometimes get all the way down to the Gulf.
I mean,
there's been times when Arctic fronts come all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, and Houston gets down to, you know, 24 degrees.
Let me tell you that there was a day in Ponte Vedra Beach when I was sitting in the clubhouse and thinking about going out to just, you know, play 3 or 4 holes. It was really cold at Sawgrass, and it started snowing. So there you go. In Jacksonville, Florida, snow, thank you.
Sure,
forget about it.
Well, how many times, too, during that Phoenix tournament, right, when they play the waste management, it's in Scottsdale, and people don't think of it as mountainous, really, but it's up at elevation higher than Phoenix is, which is certainly down in a valley. And there have been a lot of frost delays and snow delays at that tournament in Phoenix because they play in, what, February? Right?
They do.
It's a cold.
A lot of frost
in the desert.
It snowed there before, remember?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there have been times where they had to hold off. If you go and Google pictures of Phoenix Open snow, you'll see the entire course covered in a blanket of snow, and the guys are trying to warm up with, you know, look like they're getting ready to go skiing. That cold weather, that's kind of the schedule, right, Frank? We've rescheduled the tournaments with some tournaments going earlier, the Players' Championship, the PGA Championship going earlier. They're rescheduling, and part of that is once you get out of certainly Florida and Southern California, it's very unpredictable. Whether you'd be in Texas or Arizona, it's very unpredictable when you're talking about February, March weather. It can be very nice and fine, and it could be cold.
March in Florida can be just that. It can be 40 degrees or 80 degrees. You just don't know. So, and the Players' Championship, when it does move back to March, that's where it started. The TPC originally was played at Sawgrass Country Club, East and West course. Moved across the street after Dean Beeman's vision and Pete Dye developed TPC Sawgrass, the stadium club. Moved across the street there, and it was in March for a number of years, and you never knew what you were going to get. So course conditions change. I mean, from May back to March is going to make a big difference in that tournament, which, as you well know, is my favorite golf tournament, period, the Players' Championship. I love it. So, so what else is going on in the world of golf? Have you heard anything about this guy named Eldridge Tiger? More stuff's coming out?
Got it. He's getting warm. He's getting ready to go. His tournament is at the end of this month in November. and
in the Bahamas.
We're talking about this is the 10th of November, and so it's basically about, what, 18 days away or so that he'll be teeing up in the Bahamas. The weather won't be, well, wind will be a factor, but certainly warm won't be a factor in the Bahamas. And that course, by the way, one of the things that somebody reported on during all the hurricanes and all the bad weather in Florida and the Bahamas and the Caribbean was that Albany was pretty unscathed. So the tournament is going forward, because that was a concern or a thought, was, is that going to affect any of those golf tournaments? And but Albany's going to be fine, so it won't be a problem there. Although I have heard that some of the money being raised, certainly for good causes, will stay right there and help the people in the Bahamas in that area that have been
decimated.
I saw something, Frank, that Puerto Rico, I believe, 60% of Puerto Ricans still don't have electricity.
That's true.
How long has that been now? 2 months?
Well, but their infrastructure was so
forever.
It was really in bad shape. So
it was.
Well, that just goes to show you
a long time to not have electricity.
What would you do in Dallas, Texas, or Nashville, Tennessee, or Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, for that fact, if you didn't have electricity? Or better yet, Spring Hill, Tennessee. Latest news, and this is a little off the golf realm here for a minute, but a foreign virus infected the municipality of Spring Hill. I mean, if you want to go do crime, go to Spring Hill, Tennessee, just south of Nashville, about 30 miles. You can't pay your utility bills online anymore. 911 center's down, basically, from computer. The police call center's down.
Wow.
Yeah, a virus. And they're asking $250,000 to release the computer system.
Oh, wow. It's one of those things.
It's one of those things. Yeah.
But
the whole city. The whole
city. The city ransom.
Yeah.
You know what, Frank? And you're right. But we're okay. We're off topic. That's kind of the name of the show.
We're a fusion of topic. This is the entertainment portion, right? Or is this the reporting portion? I don't know.
This is current events. But you know what? I've heard that there is a lot more that goes on that we don't talk about and hear about, because the hospitals that get that, the places that they attack on off a lot of times and hold it ransom, where they can't allow their systems to go down because people's lives literally are on the line, that they pay those ransoms a lot more than you even hear about. It's 50,000, 100,000, and you're like, you got to do it. You got to do it, because you got to be up in an hour. You can't wait even 6 hours to try to negotiate or do anything. So those things happen, I think, more than – and we think that they happen, because we just don't hear about them, because they certainly don't want anybody else to come in and go, okay, well, we'll go after you too if you're a hospital or a municipality or someplace that's devastated by – I mean, if they held me hostage without electricity, good luck. I give you $20, turn it back on.
Here's the deal. Thank God that we still keep handwritten scorecards on the PGA Tour and in golf. Okay, there you go.
You're making Art Selinger very angry.
I know I'm making Art Selinger angry.
That's one of his big things.
Total electronic. Why are we doing that? Well, guess what?
He's like, why would we ask somebody to keep your own score in your back pocket in today's day and age?
There you go. There's my point. Spring Hill, Tennessee. So we'll leave it at that. So
it seems like the NFL has somehow figured it out without Tom Brady writing down a score and a pad paper putting it in his pocket. So, yeah, I think golf can figure it out electronically without being devastated. But no. Art's point. We got to get Art back. I just love listening to Art, because
he just goes crazy.
You and I just sit back and drink coffee.
Yeah, and he goes nuts. I mean,
Art. You know what? Art's
is
like
he on blood pressure Rooney. Medicine?
No, should be. Well, unless you count.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, Tito's as blood pressure medicine.
We're gonna send him some Bill Conwell Penn High vodka, and that'll.
But
he's like
our Andy Rooney. Remember from 60 Minutes?
I sure do.
You just kind of said
the angry editorial.
With Andy Rooney. Yeah, and you go, you ever wonder why they put screw caps on? Yeah, I mean, it's Art. You ever wonder why you have to keep your own score? He's got a million of them. Hey, by the way, yesterday was a media day for the Byron Nelson at their new location. So I and some other media people in Dallas ventured down to Trinity Forest to
play.
They actually were going to have – no, we didn't play, but they're going to have tours. So they let people go out on the course that hadn't seen it, and a number of media people hadn't really been out on the course. So they let you go out. I didn't do it because –
You've played it.
I was still eating food, and I was
there,
so I'd seen it. And but I took a few pictures. I'll send them to you. The clubhouse is completed, and that was, as most places do, they finish the golf course first, and then the clubhouse is those temporary trailers or whatever. And now they finish it, which is a very non-traditional looking, just like the golf course, Frank. This, when you see this place, whether in person or on TV for the first time, you and all our listeners, I think you're going to be shocked might be a little bit strong, but maybe shocked, because the golf course itself, as we've talked about, is very different than anything you've seen on the PGA Tour. The attention is to make it that. They don't want it to be the soft tree-lined golf courses that we've come to know in the last 50, 60 years on the tour. This is going back to, and Harrison Frazier was there kind of explaining to other media people the point of what Crenshaw was trying to do with this course. We're taking it back to Scotland days when they didn't have sprinklers and goats went around the pasture and trimmed the grass for you by eating the grass. And he said that's the way that this is going to be. Natural grasses are going to grow and
I love
some
that.
Flowers are going to come up. And it's going to get brown when it gets brown, and it'll green up if it rains. But not that they don't have sprinklers, but certainly off the fairways, they're not going to water very much. And there isn't a tree on the golf course and no water. So
I love
that. It's just rolling hills of nastiness is what I'm going to call it. Because if you don't hit it right or you overpower it, which is what Crenshaw is trying to do, say we're not looking to bomb the ball like
360.
Everybody's saying that's what we got to do. Right. Yeah, you've got to strategically play this golf course. And sometimes that means the DJs of the world, you could if you wanted to drive a green and hit it 380 because it's going to roll out a long, long way. But you might hit 3-wood because if you hit that driver, you might be in something you don't want to be in. Because it's not going to roll exactly true like a lot of fairways do today that are pretty much even across the middle and then rolls into the rough. So it's very different. And the clubhouse is like that too, very contemporary clubhouse. I don't know what I would compare it to, but it's white and cedar, if you will, and flat roof, which is rooftop seating and dining and viewing. So people during the tournament and other bigwigs, I'm sure, with AT&T would be posted up there.
And us, of course, our show live from
so
up there.
Yeah. So very different than the a colonial, a traditional kind of clubhouse that you see at a lot of different courses. So I think people there's going to be mixed reviews. There are going to be people that are absolutely going to hate it, who like tradition, if you will, in air quotes, tradition being the last 50 years of golf.
Right.
And there's going to be others that are going to love it and say, well, you know what, that's exactly the way golf was supposed to be played. Let's go back 100 years and play it that way. So it's going to be interesting. But that was my day yesterday. So
well, that's tough. Between you and Zucchino, you know, there's getting a lot of work done, boys.
Yeah. And
say, tell me this, since it's a media day for our listeners, media day is when the tournament, prospective tournament or whatever, invites all the media out, and it's usually months ahead of the tournament to give them the overview, give them, you know, the secret sauce to talk about to promote the tournament. So was it a big media day there for the Byron Nelson? Because this is a huge change for the Byron Nelson. It's moving from the course it's been on, or where it's been forever, out to Trinity Forest, which is an AT&T involvement because of their sponsorship, which is good.
Yeah.
But was it a lot of media, a lot of local, a lot of national? What?
There were a lot of media, and they actually thanked a guy from Scotland who was there. I have no idea why he was there. I didn't talk to him. I'm assuming he didn't come just for this.
A layover in Dallas?
Yeah, I don't know. They said something about, and this course is, as I just said, alluding to the old English and Irish, Scottish golf courses. And he said, as a matter of fact, we've got Ian McGregor over there. Ian, would you stand up, please? You know, and Ian's like, thank you. This redheaded guy stands up.
Hey, easy.
Waves, and I'm like, what's he doing here? So I don't know why he was there, but they did have a guy from Scotland, and he did say it's a true Lynx style golf course, although there's no seaside.
No water.
Lynx, we all know that, and no water to say. The Trinity River, which is never going to be mistaken for a large body of water
sea.
Or an ocean, is the closest. It's the closest thing that goes near it, but you don't even really see that. So, it was a big turnout. A lot of media people there. Of course, they had the open bar and buffet kind of set out, so they had
feed and
beverage the media. That kind of gets you to stay for a little bit. But yeah, it was a pretty good turnout. And they also gave you a tour of the locker rooms and the clubhouse and the dining and the whole place. So you got to see what everybody will see when you go there. And like I said, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous, as you would expect, brand new, but so different than a traditional golf course and clubhouse that and it's a private club, so it's a high-dollar golf club and a private club. It's not city-owned, although the city puts some money in. Across the street, there's kind of a main highway, if you will, or a four-lane road that goes right off that is where the golf course is. On the other side of that, so you go through underneath on a tunnel, and you go to the driving range, and that's all over there. The practice range is there, all along with SMU's facilities, because it's SMU's home course, so they built locker rooms and facilities for the men's and women's golf teams at SMU and offices for the coaches. And then there's also being finished right now is the first tee of Dallas has moved their headquarters.
Wow. There.
So that's the city involvement is the first tee, which is a gorgeous place to have the first tee. Because first tees are oftentimes at municipal courses in different cities.
Right. Not the best conditions. Yeah.
This is obviously a very different kind of a first tee place because it's a gorgeous facility that they have there and great greens and grasses. It's all the same Georgia and everything that they're doing for Trinity Forest, they're doing for their first tee. So,
well, maybe we'll have the head of the first tee on the show from Dallas. Sure, first tee is a great program. And, we should have them on. Well, back to the tournament at hand this week outside of Cancun. While we were speaking to Mark, I was just looking at a few things in my notes. Do you know what Cancun, it's Mayan. Cancun is a Mayan word. Do you know what it stands for?
Cancun. Tranquil beachside, surfside. No, I don't know.
Nest of vipers.
Seriously?
Nest of vipers.
Not going there.
So the tournament this week is in the Nest of Vipers. And that's so appropriate for some of our play-by-play team. Stankowski's working the team this week, okay?
Yes, he is.
Oh, Stanky's hard at it. The Nest of Vipers.
Las Vegas is the Meadows.
The Meadows. Okay.
Why would that be?
And we also talked to Mark. I asked him about the critters, remember?
Yeah.
Well, there's abundant wildlife there in Mexico. It includes deers, monkeys, manatees, and alligators. And it's a diversity that arises from the area's four distinct ecosystems. I didn't know that. So the diversity of the animals is derived from the four distinct ecosystems, which are reef, forest, savanna, and mangrove.
Yeah. Mangrove, by the way, is where you're talking about Tequino going around on the boats that you can go around resorts in the mangrove forest that go through there. And there's water. It's a combination of salt water and fresh water.
Right.
Because you're inland, but the salt water those mangrove forests leads into the ocean. Well, here's the interesting thing, Frank, is that they have saltwater crocodiles, which do exist. As we know, if you go to Australia, they're out in the ocean in Australia in the Great Barrier Reefs. Would freak me out completely. I mean, not that you want to see a shark, but you'd kind of expect to see a barracuda or a shark or something. You would not expect, I wouldn't, in the ocean as you're snorkeling, a 15-foot crocodile to swim by swim at you. It would freak you out. They hang out in those mangroves, though.
They do.
When you're talking about Zucchino, they actually hang out. And I remember this because they did a story one time. It's like 60 Minutes or something. In one of those resorts, part of the nighttime festivities while everybody's getting blitzed is you would slide down this slide into the water that was right behind this bar, right?
Yeah.
And it was all spring breakers. Everybody's having a great time. Well, you'd take this slide, you'd go, and then you'd get out of the way. It was only waist deep. And then you'd get back in, do it again and go have some drinks with your friends. Well, 60 Minutes showed at nighttime, while the kids are doing that, and adults and everybody else, they showed the eyeballs of these crocodiles that were all over that water. They were sitting there watching.
Yeah.
With the eyeballs, as you can see at nighttime, right? You just saw those two eyeballs sticking out of the water. There were like 50 crocodiles within 20 yards of those people. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
It was cooking school for crocodiles.
Oh, God. I can't even imagine. And they're just watching, almost like talking to each other, going, hey, Frank, look at them. Those guys don't think we're here again.
Look at the fat kid. Get the fat kid.
Yeah, let's get that one. I like that guy.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. Well, we're making fun of a lot of stuff on this show today. It's Friday, and we're ready to close down for the week, at least to get ready for the golf for the weekend. But in all seriousness, this tournament is it's a great tournament. And Mexico, Cancun, what a beautiful place to be. And Fred Albers and Mark Zucchino and the rest of the broadcast team are having a really good time. And I'm really jealous. I'm really jealous that we're not there.
It's a good time to be down there. Yeah.
So next week we'll get back on the Tiger Trail because it's winding down and it's coming. So we'll see.
The tour will go to Sea Island.
Yeah.
And everybody will go from, which is, again, think of the life here, is that in the last few weeks they've gone from Napa to Cancun to Vegas to Sea Island.
Yeah.
I know you want to cash checks and it's part of you got to stay in the tour, but it's a neat little tour to be on, isn't it? I mean, however you're playing.
We've got it wrong.
These aren't bad stops. These aren't bad stops.
We have it wrong. What are we doing? Think about this, Tim. You and I are sitting here in Dallas and Houston, respectively, right now.
Not Houston.
Dallas and Nashville. So what did I say?
Forgot where you were.
Houston. It was a long night. CMA hangover from Wednesday.
I'm still in Houston.
Whatever. Yeah, really. But in all seriousness, why aren't we running this series of live shows from these tournaments as opposed to going out during the regular, the middle of the year,
the summertime.
Yeah, yeah, yes. We got this all good wrong. Question. All wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
All wrong. I'll need to make a phone call today.
We have to talk to someone about this because, although there are not too many bad stops on PGA Tour,
no,
for sure.
No.
But you're right. As far as weather and everything, this would be a beautiful time to be in all those places. I mean, great time to be in Vegas is this time of the year. Great time to be in Napa, certainly Sea Island. Yeah.
Well, Sea Island, and next week is going to be, that's my second favorite place outside of Ponte Vedra is St. Simons and Sea Island. God, it's gorgeous up there, my Lord.
Yeah.
Even though it is Georgia. But that's okay. We won't go there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a different kind of golf, too, right? Yeah. I mean, there's swampy stuff that you can get into. And there's some gators out that way, too.
Bunches.
So, yeah.
And then the first week in December, I will be in South Carolina at Santee, playing in a golf outing that's the first annual Winter Classic benefiting the Santee Cooper area. So we'll do a show from over there. We'll patch you in.
Nice.
And rub it in that we're playing golf there, since you play golf everywhere in Dallas all the time.
Yeah.
So with my good friend Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort, who set it all up, and we appreciate that. But we'll be talking more about Santee and that tourism area there and their invitation. You ought to see the swag that is for this tournament, the first annual. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You ought to see the swag bag.
Well, Frank, I don't mean to trump that, but we got a little swag bag for the media yesterday.
I hear you going through it. Is that what you're opening the bag?
I'm pulling it out.
Okay, what you got?
I should send you these too. I got a pair of visitdallas.com socks. they're turquoise blue socks with the big Dallas symbol, which is kind of a D with a star in the middle of it that makes Dallas.
Yeah.
They're blue socks. I'm serious, Frank. I don't know. Where would somebody wear these?
Oh, ship them over here. I'll wear them and take a picture.
They're turquoise blue and black. that was part of my
swag. So that's your swag bag.
We also got that. Yeah, I'm going to trump you here. And then we also got one of those really cool. It says 50th anniversary. But coming up is the 50th anniversary of the Byron Nelson. 50 years.
Wow.
Playing the Byron Nelson tournament. And it's one of those swell kind of drink cup bottles,
The
ones that keeps stuff in there ice cold for
hours. Like so the Yeti type thing.
The top.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Yeti. Kind of like we had our name on one when we were at Augusta, right?
Well, I'm looking at it right here in our studio with Ells for Autism, Caddy for the Cure, and Folds of Honor, and the Azalea House and Golf Top America are the logos that are on it.
Yes.
It's really nice, too.
So it's the same kind of – by the way, did you read that closely? Does it say where we got that? Does it say the city that we were in?
Yes, it does, and it's correctly spelled on these. The first batch that was shipped in, they misspelled Augusta.
Yeah. Augusta.
Who was the proofreader at this company? Yeah. You may name the company that made these?
Yeah.
No, we're not going to say it right now. Can't do it.
Yeah.
They did misprint a bunch of them, and everybody went, God.
It was AG, I think, right? Augusta? Yeah. AG, Augusta.
Yeah.
Anyway, same kind of thing as what we got yesterday. So it was very nice. Yeah.
It was Augusta, not Augusta.
Yeah, not Augusta. Augusta.
So what else did you get before we
That's
go?
That's it, Frank. No, that my swag
That's
bag
it?
Is not going to compare to yours. Yeah, I got socks.
It ain't getting close, buddy.
And we're a cooler thing.
Golf clubs, golf shoes, rain suits, hats, shirts.
Wow.
And all like Titleist, FootJoy, really, really cool, nice stuff. So the first annual, we'll talk more about it as we get closer, but it's in Santee.
They can afford to have a second annual.
Well, yeah, after giving all this away.
All that stuff away, we're broke. No more tournaments.
Yeah, we're getting a driver, I think, Fairwaywood, Rescue. It's unbelievable, all the swag that they have.
I did a tournament one time that was similar to that. This is 100 years ago, and it was at a new course in Dallas. And they gave away so much stuff. Back then, everything was Reebok as far as apparel and stuff.
Yeah,
so they had all this Reebok stuff and Reebok golf shoes and sweaters and all this stuff. And everybody got a driver. And Greg Norman and Curtis Strange were kind of the hosts. And they brought them in. And they were playing with everybody and went around to different groups and lit up like you can't believe and had a great time. And they brought in musicians. So they brought in names that people may not be familiar with, but Mickey Dolenz was there.
From the Monkees.
From the Monkees.
Yeah.
From the Monkees.
Hey, hey, with the Monkees.
I have no idea how they got him. BJ Thomas was there.
I'm hooked on a feeling.
There we go. You know, yeah, Frank knows them all.
I know them all.
And several others. So it was called the Music and Something. I don't even know the reason for the tournament. Well,
yeah.
The next year, I called the organizer, the guy who put it on, the PR guy that helped him here, and I asked him about the tournament again. He goes, they spent so much money on the swag and flying those guys. He goes, they could not. They lost. And, you know, you're supposed to make money on these charity tournaments. He said they lost like $50,000. No, there's no more turn. There's no second annual. So it was done. They just went crazy. Yeah. I mean, Alice Cooper.
Alice played?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I met him on a flight, by the way, not to go too far off base, but I met him on a flight one night coming from L.A. back to Dallas, coming through Dallas back to Jackson, Mississippi at the time. And I was sitting next to this lovely lady. I was in my favorite seat on the old 727, if you remember that aircraft that Delta had, the huge, largest fleet of, and seats 2B. It's the first seat on the right when you get on the plane against the bulkhead. And the lady to my left was a really nice lady reading a really cool book called Barbarians at the Gate. She was sitting there reading that. Mm-hmm. To my right was Marvin Kalb, CBS. You remember Marvin Kalb?
Sure.
You're a CBS guy. And on his right was Alice Cooper. On my left was Peg Allen. At the time, the wife, on my left, the wife of the chairman of the board of Delta Airlines. And she said, she was reading the book. And I said, I love that book. I've just finished it. She said, yes, it's a good friend of ours that it's about. R.J. Reynolds Tobacco. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my. I'm sitting with these people going, what am I doing here? Oh, well, you know, maybe I should move back to the middle seat all the way back the plane. But it was an interesting flight that night. But met Alice Cooper. He's a Rhodes Scholar. Did you know that?
That is not true.
He is a Rhodes Scholar.
That is not. I would have known that. Alice Cooper is not a Rhodes
Scholar. He's a Rhodes Scholar. The man's a genius.
I'm not saying he's not, but I don't think he's a Rhodes Scholar, Frank. I think you're throwing that in
there. On the next show,
makes it better.
Tim's research. He'll go to the Paul Stankowski School of Research before you do a broadcast.
You know,
Paul's going to kill us for that. You know that, don't you?
You know who is a Rhodes Scholar? Speaking of musicians that are that's also a genius, is Kris Kristofferson.
He is a Rhodes Scholar. He sure is.
That's an actual fact. That's not a made-up Frank fact. That's an actual fact that Kris Kristofferson is a Rhodes Scholar.
He is.
And he was also in the military, was he not?
He was invited to teach at West Point.
Yeah, yeah.
He turned it down.
There's so much about that guy that is fascinating to me. So actor, singer, Rhodes Scholar, military,
songwriter, songwriter.
It's one of those guys. You're like, how did he have time? I haven't done any of those.
You got
what a waste of my life, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, how did this guy squeeze it all into one life?
Do you have a weapon? Do you have a gun?
No, not handy.
Don't shoot yourself. Not on the air. If you do it on the air, we'll get great ratings.
Yeah, would that help? Would that be good?
That might help our show. Or maybe if we had better topics, it would help the show. We are the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. And on a Friday, it's like a Freaky Friday. We just talk about everything that in the world. And if our listeners have things they want us to talk about, send us an email at tim@golftalkamerica.com or frank@golftalkamerica.com. And we'll start bringing up your name if you want us to. You have to say it's okay in the email or we can't use it. And we'll talk about your topic and single you out and embarrass the ever-loving whatever. but that's the Freaky Friday that we're going to be doing in the 2017-2018 PGA Tour season.
Alice Cooper, by the way, I do know this about Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Real name?
Yes.
Vincent Fournier. Vincent Fournier. I could see why he went with Alice Cooper.
You've got your iPad out and you're Googling.
I do not. It's in my head. I got all kinds of stuff swimming in
there.
Get
us out of here.
See you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We love each and every one of you. Thanks for Mark Zucchino calling in early this morning from Mayakoba. We do appreciate him talking to us. Listen to those boys on PGA Tour Radio all weekend long as they're following the OHL Classic, and you'll have a great time listening to those guys. Thanks, Frank Bassett, as well. I'm Tim Matthews, and we will see you next time right here on Golf Talk America. Have a great weekend.